This episode of Outlander Cast is brought to you by MinuteWithMary.com. And for those of you who don't know, I stay home with my little wee lad and lass. And in addition to podcasting, I run a makeup and skincare company from my cell phone. And one of my favorite things to recommend to people, if you're having a crummy day, if you're feeling a little gross, or just feeling a little down, you know what you do? You put on a bold lip. You pull it on a different lip and you're going to get complimented. You're going to feel confident. Your shoulders will be back. People will say, oh my God, nice lipstick. And you're going to say, why, thank you. And suddenly your outlook's better. So one of my favorite products is my lip gloss. It's easy, wicked easy to use. Not sticky, nice and creamy,
yeah, it's
long lasting.
Easy to use,
has like a little mirror on the side. It's flipping fantastic. You can get yours at 15% off this month, the month of February, by going to minutewithmary.com/discount.
Hi, this is Nadra from Beirut, Lebanon, and you're listening to Outlander Cast with Marion Blake. I'm a dancer, and what I like the best about Outlander is it keeps me on my toes from top to end.
That a girl. Way to be.
Yeah, Nadra. All the way from Providence, Rhode Island, welcome to Outlander Cast. It's a podcast dedicated to the show Outlander on Starz.
Sing me a song of a lass that is gone. Say for that lass we are. Mary of soul, she sailed on a day over the seas, oh star.
Gracious, who wants to sing all those parts of harmony with me? I know you do. Well, hey everybody, how's it going? My name is Mary Larson.
My name is Blake, and I am so fracking happy we're back in the listener feedback episode, Mary. These are my favorites.
These are Blake's favorites. Yes, we love to dive into the episode. We love to talk about our personal GBGs, our kilt ratings, but really, the reason Outlander Cast was created was for the fans.
Correct.
So this is the fans' episode to shine. And for those of you who are brand new this season to Outlander Cast, hold on tight, because you're going to get to hear a wide array of people's opinions on Season 5, Episode 1.
And as always, we love to talk. Mary and I, we're pretty much blowhards. We'll talk about Outlander all day, every day, for hours on end.
I don't even know what that word means. Yeah, it just sounds vulgar.
It means you talk a lot. That's what it means.
Okay.
But as always, what we try to give you, the listener, and you, the viewer, who are on Facebook Live as of this moment, and you, who will be watching on YouTube later on, we give you a platform here. Your voice is just as much as important as Mary and I's voice, if not even more, because you guys are the real fans, and we're two jabronis stuck in our basement studio talking about Outlander and having fun. So,
and drinking water.
And drinking all the water. No whiskey tonight.
No whiskey tonight.
We're on the WW.
Yes.
So we can't have wasted calories. Empty calories, if you will.
Not going to drink my points.
Cannot have that. And the beautiful part about all of this is that it's agenda free. This whole episode of Outlander Cast, to listen to feedback ones, they're all agenda free. So whatever you guys say is what we go with. It doesn't matter what it is. We're the ones that are here. We're the ones that are giving you the platform. And Mary and I's agenda will not be highlighted. Whatever we want to say about the stuff, we've already said it. We've already said it. You guys heard it in the last episode. This is your platform, and I'm so happy to be able to give this to you. But before we get into the rest of this show, my favorite part of this podcast, we want to make sure that you follow us and you subscribe to the podcast. Thank you.
Your favorite part of this podcast is this part?
No. My favorite part of this podcast is the listen to feedback.
Okay.
Yeah. We want to make sure you listen and subscribe and you follow us, and you can go to maryandblake.com and check out all of our podcasts there, including Outlander Cast. Subscribe on Apple Podcasts and any podcatcher of your choice. Thank you for the reviews, by the way. I just noticed today that we have 745 reviews for Outlander Cast.
Oh my gosh.
Which is really good, and they've all been tremendous. So thank you so much. And if you want to help, if you want to keep helping out the show and you want to keep these listener feedback episodes going and Outlander Cast going, you can obviously go to minutewithmary.com/discount and get the deal that Mary is obviously offering you. But you can check out the Mary and Blake store that helps us us out as well. Mm-hmm. And you can give us some reviews. 5 stars are good, but if you think we suck, I'll take it. Maybe someday we'll read off some of the mean reviews.
No.
Which we could do if you'd like. But check us out on social media, Mary and Blake, Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, Instagram.
All over the place.
We're all over the place. You can just find us all over the thing. And you can see all of our events and everything that we're talking about at Mary and Blake Media at maryandblake.com. So I'm very excited about it. Marvin, it is time. Yes. Let's release the hounds. And you know what? I have something for you that I know.
Oh, I'm excited.
I know that you don't necessarily remember.
Oh, dear.
But I'm going to make it all right for you.
Okay.
And this is what it is.
All right.
Oh my goodness. Goodness gracious, does that just rev you up?
That was an oldie but goodie.
It's such a goodie. So to dive in to this, the inaugural episode for Season 5 Listener Feedback, we've got Ned from the website.
Yes, at outlandercast.com.
Yes, Ned wrote in, "This was an awesome episode. Everyone is being so too hard on Roger. I thought what he did in Providence was absolutely heroic. He'd escaped, but still felt the need to help that poor man who was slowly burning to death. Unable to free him, Roger at least speeded up his death, knowing that he'd be caught, and that might very well be his turn next for slow, agonizing death. Mm. No one would have helped him die quickly, and Roger didn't know that help was on the way. I think if Jamie had heard about the whole thing, he'd have been very impressed by Roger's courage. He also helped hide that woman and her baby on Bonnet's ship. So don't tell me that Roger isn't a good man or that he doesn't have what it takes to survive here. He just isn't sure he wants to. I can't blame Roger for that. There's a war coming, snakes that can wander into the backyard, and a father-in-law who still can't accept him as family. See, how do you, under those circumstances, he's doing the best he can at the moment. I very much liked his standing up to Aunt Jocasta. It's too bad he can't tell her he's related to her deceased brother, Dougal. Anyway, let's please let Roger off the hook. He's more than paid for whatever mistakes he's made in season 4. Jamie will come around, make no mistake. Roger is just as worthy of being Jamie extended family as anyone else. More so since he alone got Claire back to Jamie. Let's not overlook all that he's done.
Listen, it takes one bad thing to ruin an entire life. And that guy, what he did was not go back to Brianna in enough amount of time, in a timely manner. I don't care what anybody says, he didn't do it. He did not do it.
I need this Ned on this live. Ned, bring it. Brings the Roger heat.
Roger sucks. He's on the way back. I'm happy to go along to get along, but I'm not in on Roger quite yet. He's kind of ruined for me.
I roll.
All right, this one comes from Karen. She says, "Loved watching the podcast record live."
Oh, thank you.
Thank you, Karen. I appreciate that. You guys are awesome. I did ask a question while you had stepped away, Mary, but you didn't get an answer, so sorry. I'm asking again. And I have to say, before I ask the question, this is actually one of the most asked questions of Mary and Blake and myself in particular.
Okay.
The question is, Blake, why do you call Mary Marvin? So, Mary, you know what? Why don't you tell the story of why I call you Marvin?
Because Stavin Marvin is a phrase.
It is a phrase.
And I'm pretty much always hungry. So, right?
Yes.
Okay. There's like many a story about me being hungry.
Yes, that Mary is constantly hungry. Like constantly, no matter what we're doing, she's hungry.
And which is why I have to drink copious amounts of water to tell myself, you're not really hungry, Mary.
Right. You're thirsty probably, or you're just bored. Mm-hmm. But she always would ask me for food. And I was just like, oh my God, you're like Stavin Marvin. And then it sounds like Mary. And so I kept on calling her Marvin. And it's just been a thing that...
Now my kids sometimes call me Marvin.
They do. When she's not listening, they go, hey, Marvin.
Yes.
Which is fun. But Karen continues, loved this episode so very much. Sam Heughan is just amazing, but that's no surprise. My biggest surprise for this episode was how small Clea's pot was. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure she's going to have big stuff coming up, but she just seemed to be even less than Bree and Roger for this episode. And I mentioned this on Facebook. There was there a diamond birthmark behind Bree's ear? But I think there was a shadow of her earring. It should have been there. I don't know anything about this diamond birthmark.
Dina Fash.
Okay, so Jamie crying, of course, that one got me. Was after Kalad when Rupert goes out to be shot. Then with him saying bye, Ian, at the end of season 4. He does say bye, Ian. Hashtag bye, Ian. You know you have a bad character when you just have to write him out of every season. Poor thing. And he just has to meander off in the middle
of a
scene.
He's not a bad character.
Well, within the show, he's written poorly.
You don't have time.
Then it's written poorly. It's written poorly if he has to meander off on every scene.
Ian did get the short end of the stick.
He absolutely did. So he may not be a bad character in the books, but in the show, not a good character. Tears on his cheeks when he thought Claire would leave him at the end of the stones for the Frank of season 1. And tearing up as he rode away from Willie in Lost Things. He does it so very well. It's never overdone. In each situation, it's just perfect to that scene. And Jamie dancing. I know I've seen in previews Jamie dancing, and I expected it to be in the wedding episode. But no. Maybe upcoming if Jocasta marries Innes. Innes? Really? Innes? I think people were way too harsh on Roger last season. Already people are jumping on Roger for not stepping up right away. When Jamie asked for men to stand by his side, I thought that when Roger knows he is not equipped to fight and did not know what he was supposed to do until Isaiah Morton showed the way and Jamie called him by name. You know, Karen, I will actually give you credit on this one. I 100% believe you on that. Dude, Roger has no idea what to do. And even though Jamie's looking at him, he's like under pressure. I don't blame Roger for that one. The costumes, she loved Bree's wedding dress.
Yes.
And in the previews, Bree states, if you stop this now, America may never become America. And if the regulator stepped down, that spark may be extinguished. I think Murtaugh has to follow his conscience. He just can't sit by and do nothing. Tryon is the Bonnie Prince Charlie of this season. Not overtly a bad guy, an idiot, but not a murderer or sadist like BJR, but definitely at cross purposes with Jamie's best interests where Murtaugh is concerned. Bonnet is the true villain of this season, but I hated that it was brought in on her wedding. Jamie finding out, us finding out was fine. Her finding out was sucky on her wedding day. Just mean.
Agreed.
I thought when she was overhearing Jamie and Lord John that she might be going to hear that Willie was her brother, which also would have sucked, by the way. So, yeah. So her favorite scene of the show was the kilt scene with the music playing over and everything. So she loved that. And that is that.
Wait, what would have sucked about Willie?
If she found out that her brother was Willie at the same time, that would have been sucky.
She doesn't know about Willie in the show?
I don't know. I don't think she knows about Willie in the show. She definitely doesn't know that it's that's her brother. There's no chance she knows that.
Okay.
No chance she knows that.
Okay.
So, on Facebook, Marvin, what do you got for Facebook?
I need coffee. Hold on. Okay, on Facebook, this isn't coffee. This is water. Here we go.
When hosts aren't listening.
No, I am listening. I'm thinking, man. It's not easy.
Fair enough. Go ahead.
I'm trying to juggle you and... Okay, Helen McGinnis says, hi, Mary and Blake. Found your podcast about 2 months ago and binge listened to every single one.
Hold on. Here we go. We got to play this. Another new listener. Thank you.
And then found you both on Mary and Blake. So I'm so happy to be able to put a face to your wonderful, funny self. So here goes my Kilderelding rating for season 5, episode 1, a 4.8. I loved it. My good was Roger. Yeah, we have lovable, soft Roger back. And I want more singing from him. Sigh. My bad. Come on, Jamie. You're the father of the bride. Could you have not cutthroat razor? Oh, could you not have used the cutthroat razor on yourself? Oh, she's saying he needed a little shave.
Yeah, he needed a little... tighten it up a little bit there.
And my great wee Jamie at the beginning and big Jamie at the end, crying, just writing about it. 1,000 thanks for your wonderful podcast. Can't wait for next week.
Well, thank you,
Helen.
And I like this idea that the razor is symbolic here. It's a metaphor for Roger. He's on the razor's edge. He has no idea what to do with his life. In the past, he's a scholar. He's not a warrior. He doesn't have any appreciable skills. And he needs Jamie to actually show him how to do something as basic as shaving his own face. That's how useless Roger is in the past. So I like the metaphor that they're using for this whole thing. So the next one is Eleanor Verenbeck. She says, "This was a Cinco de Quilto for me. I laughed. I cried. I toasted R&B's wedding. My only critique is I wish they didn't flash back to Bree's rape. I would have thought just watching Bree's reaction in her face when she overhears Lord John say that Bonnet's name was enough." Mary, that's a good question for you. Do you think that they overdid it with the scenes with Bree's rape? Do you think that her face should have been enough, or was it using those scenes that they did not use in the previous season during the rape scene? Do you think that was appropriate, or do you think they should have left it on the cutting room floor?
I didn't like it because it took me out of the party. I had a great time eating up all the cheese whiz, the cheesecake, all the cheese that was the cheesy wedding. Mm-hmm. But I will say this, that I don't think just seeing Bree's face of, oh my goodness gracious, Bonnet, would have done it enough. You know, we got the sound effect too of that like high-pitched kind of buzzing that we needed. We needed some hard, like slap in your face flashbacks, because Droughtlander's been long and most people have rewatched the show.
But you have to consider the common watcher.
Yes.
Yes.
So I think it was necessary. I didn't like it because I didn't like to watch it, but it doesn't mean that I don't think that it was important to have. So I do believe that it's important to have.
And here on Facebook Live says, "Blake, have you ever shaved with a cutthroat razor?" I personally have not shaved with it, but I have been shaven with a cutthroat style razor, and it's really good. Yeah. It is really nice. I quite like it. This one comes from Kelly Castro. She says, "Five kilts all the way. It was amazing. I cried right off the bat with Claire and Bree getting ready for the wedding. And as a mother of a little girl, it really got me. Even the hubby was tearing up there with Jamie and his tray." Yes, I totally agree. I was tearing up with, especially when Jamie says, "The Frasers of the Ridge are here." Like, oh, goodness gracious. That was great. The good. I know this is contrary to what others think, but I loved Roger singing. I love that song. It just fits so well with the episode. I love how they're tying in references to the 20th century. And I didn't hate him saying something about going back either. Of course, Roger wants to go back. He has no useful skills in the 18th century. Criticism his father-in-law is laying onto him is pretty thickly done throughout the day. The bad. I love me some Lord John, but his presence felt forced and just odd at certain points. And the great, of course, the kilt, the image of Jamie standing there, inspiring everyone. It was just gorgeous. Honestly, this may be one of my new favorite non-season one episodes. Also, I was not a fan of FC, so I've been trying... Oh, Fiery Cross. So I've been curious to see how I was going to feel about the adaptation, and I thought this was perfection. It almost makes me want to go back and reread the book.
Awesome.
Almost. Oh. Almost. Mary, your thoughts on the adaptation of this part of the book? Do you think that the show...
They took, like, something really, really big and then shriveled it down and added a few things and made it their own. I think for brevity's sake, they did a pretty good job.
Yep.
I really did. I loved it. Email from Samantha, who wrote in on the official Outlander podcast. Matthew Roberts said that they used visual effects on Duncan's face to de-age him, not Minute with Mary makeup.
Damn you, Matt Roberts. Damn you! Here on Facebook Live, Rebecca says she didn't like the Jamie and Claire wedding flashback. It totally took away from Roger and Bree. Do you agree or disagree?
The Jamie and Claire flashback when they were saying their
vows. In the
vows.
Wedding, yeah.
Hmm.
I will say, personally, that I wish they didn't include the dialogue of it. I wish it was just kind of flashes. Because it's already implied. Right, you don't need Jamie and Claire saying the words because Roger and Bree are saying the words. Just give me a flash to their wedding moment, right?
I liked it.
I mean, I liked it. I thought it was good, but I didn't want all the dialogue from it. I just wanted the flash. I wanted Matt Roberts was talking about it in the little after show, like, or Ron was. Someone was talking about it. I forget. I think it might have been Ron in one of the. One of the events where he's like, you know, whenever I go to a wedding, I think back to my wedding day and all the things. And I kind of agree. And those thought processes aren't necessarily your vows. I, honest to God, don't even remember our vows at all. I don't remember any of them.
Oh my gosh, after all the time it took you to write yours.
It took me forever. But what I do remember is looking at you and seeing you and feeling your touch and you walking down the aisle, mm-hmm. and everything else just slowed down and stopped. I was nervous until I saw you, and then everything was just focused in. I could see you in your beautiful gown, and that was that. That's what I remember, not our vows. And that's why I wanted just a flash and not all the dialogue. This one comes from Carrie. She says, the kilt rating was 4.3. It was a very good episode, and I loved it, but it wasn't up there with all the best episodes I've seen these past four seasons. And I think there will be better episodes this season, so I'm reserving my 4.5 and up for that. The GBG. Good. The thoughtful way that Jamie honored Bree before the wedding with the old,
yes,
the new, the borrowed, and the blue.
So sweet.
Even though they haven't been together long, they do have the daddy-daughter bond, and I loved seeing it. The bad. I really didn't like the three love scenes montage. Oh, Carrie. Yes.
Bam! Just like that. A winner!
It was clever, but not soulful or connecting, which is what I prefer to see in these types of scenes. Meh. A fade-out would have been okay for me here. And the great, I loved the I'll give him a Scott scene.
Yes.
The fiery cross and all the oaths. It was Outlander season one again, but this time with Jamie as the Laird and taking his natural lead, which he cannot deny. Afterthoughts. One, I loved the ending scene with Murtaugh leaving Jamie and the heartfelt connection between them, the oath being released and broken for the sake of their responsibilities to their causes and their farewell. I think Murtaugh is now regretting his decisions, but has made his bed and must lie in it. I do agree with Blake that Murtaugh will die this season, and I'm okay with it, and hope they play it up with Jamie's reaction as only Sam could deliver it powerful. You know what, Carrie? I knew I liked you. I knew I liked you from the beginning.
Hey.
And here we are with you agreeing with me. Two, I'm excited to meet the other characters at the Ridge, not just Josiah Beardsley, but the others that mean so much in the books and will make the Ridge so interesting and diverse. It was fun to see Lizzie interact with Joe. And I'm looking forward to so many of those upcoming personalities and relationships. Three, Roger is finally being portrayed as the man he is supposed to be. I appreciate the way he knew the oath and surprised Jamie with that at the gathering around the cross. Also, how he knew the blood oath for claiming Jemmy, mm-hmm. as his own, mm-hmm. and how he told Jocasta off at her pavilion. It was awesome.
It was.
Richard is a great actor, and he really brings it to Roger. Team Roger all day long. Sing it, Rog. And finally, setting it up, the future conflict with Bonnet was great. He's also in the opening credit. He's the blurry face behind the hand holding a gem. What other things do you see in the opening credits?
Ooh.
You know, I haven't studied the opening credits enough yet. I have, so
we will next time.
We will next time. So what else have we got here?
Okay, Heather wrote in, Dear Mary and Blake, hi you guys, this is Heather writing from Berlin, Germany.
Oh, hey girl.
I've been living here for over 20 years, but I'm originally from the lowlands of Scotland, not far away from the Outlander studios. This is my first time writing in, as I only discovered your podcast quite recently.
Thank you.
But I have literally caught up on all of your back episodes in my daily train ride through Berlin. Sometimes I have to laugh out loud like an eat. What's that mean?
An
eat? Oh, idiot? Eat? What? Are you laughing because you know and I don't?
No, just, I'm so happy you got this one.
I'm on Burgundy.
Heather, what does eat mean?
I think it's supposed to be idiot, but idiot, like idiot. Is the Scottish slang for?
I don't know. Anyway, sorry, Heather. I'm sorry. I have to read this one for you. I came to Outlander relatively late, so I was able to binge watch several seasons at once, and then I would always read the book at the end of the season. What an interesting take to watch a season, read the book, watch another season, read the book.
Yes.
Very cool. I think it is a good way of doing it because it keeps the show spoiler free. I really enjoy your podcast. You two are so entertaining.
Thank
Mary,
you.
I think you have such a spot on dry sense of humor. I love it. Blake, I really like your insights, and I confess I adore your accent, especially when you say
wicked smart. That's right there, Heather. I'm wicked smart.
She says accents are funny, aren't they? As Brits, we really can't tell if Sophie Skelton does an authentic Boston or even American accent. Heather, she doesn't.
She does not.
She fails.
She's
miserably.
As a matter of fact, I'd say her Boston accent is either non-existent or it really sucks.
Like, even the fact of American, loose American accent, no. I would not ever believe that she was from our area of the country, the New England area of the country, nonetheless raised in Boston. Now, granted, one can argue her parents did not have those kind of accents.
And she probably went to a wicked smart school, so they probably beat the accent out of her.
But...
They didn't beat the accent out of me, I'll tell you that.
No, they did not. No, they did not. Anyway, I found quite a few of her words quite British sounding. But see, this is where I'm getting at. Her parents would have had British accents. Anyway, what I have noticed is that you guys say the word herbs without pronouncing the H. That sounds quite amusing to a British ears. It's like if instead of you calling me Heather, you would call me Ether. On that note, I'm so glad that you both say Fraser instead of Frasier.
Yes.
It's a pet peeve of mine. Even Ron Moore can't say Fraser, whose accent is pretty darn cringeworthy, by the way, is Ed Spillier's attempt at an Irish accent. It sounds really bad, and it makes him seem a lot less authentic to me. Maybe Kat should give him some pointers.
Yep.
I also think he overacts, which is really off-putting and cartoonish. Less is sometimes more, guys. So I wanted to give you my GBGs for the premiere of season 5. I would give this episode a kilt rating of 4.8. I really liked it, as you guys would say. It gave me all the feels. I had never heard that expression before our podcast.
Oh, wow.
So glad we brought it to you, Heather.
You're welcome.
Heather's good, where there were so many things that were really good. She said, Mary, I think you must be my spirit animal.
Yes, you are.
What is your Harry Potter Patronus, Heather? Let me know. because I swear I also had slipping through my fingers from Mamma Mia going through my head at the bridal scene between Claire and Brianna. It really touched me how tearful Jamie was when he gave Brianna the wedding things. It was so great to see their relationship has healed after the rift in season 4. I also really liked the way that all of the love scenes between the couples were intercut with wedding dancers. Finally, we get a worthy sex scene again between Claire and Jamie. Nope,
Heather's out of the circle of trust now.
What do you mean?
She's out of the circle of trust. She liked the whole montage.
Oh, well, that's fine. And something that doesn't just fade to black after 3 seconds. Oh, you wanted the fade to black. They are still easily the most electric out of all the couples. All the kudos to Sam and Kat for being able to portray such sexual attraction despite being really good friends in real life and probably knowing each other a little too well for comfort. I would also like to give a mention to the gratuitous knee porn in the kilt. Jamie has damn good knees for a man of his age, wouldn't you agree? Ladies, have you ever even noticed a man's knees before Sam Heughan? And her bad was, I must confess that I found the music during the dancing and intercut sex scenes a tad irritating. Sorry, Bear. Hold up, Heather. You think we're spirit animals? Heather, I'm continuing to read.
I told you. Out of the circle of trust. Sorry, Heather.
Hold on, but she's saying the intercut sex scenes, that would not have been Bear.
No, that would have been Roger singing the L-O-V-E.
And then, like, the musical director choice.
Yes.
Okay, so don't blame Bear for love.
Hashtag Bear Flair for life.
Generally, I found quite a lot of the music a tiny bit too cheesy in the episode. That's okay, Heather.
Yep.
We can still be friends. I just don't know if we're spirit animals.
You're just
anymore.
Out of the circle of trust. We can be cool with you.
Oh, it's okay.
She's out.
Poor Heather. She's never going to want to write again. She said, her great that is, I must confess, my knees got all mushy when I saw Jamie holding wee Jemmy and he and Claire finally getting to be like parents together. It felt very, really cathartic. I adored it that Jocasta was so clever in manipulating Roger to overcome his last bit of trepidation and accepting his son as he really is. She is a badass. But my favorite moment of all was the farewell between Jamie and Murtaugh when Jamie breaks down and cries ugly tears. We've never seen him break down like that, even when Claire left. I think for him, it is the pain of losing a parent all over again. I think Sam really killed that raw emotion. He is just so talented. So thank you, Heather.
Yes. One question I have for you.
Yep.
Do you think, it was mentioned earlier, the Lord John stuff. Do you think it was forced, or do you think it was a natural thing for
Lord
the character?
John stuff.
And you know what? You are all over the place with this mouse.
There you go. What Lord John stuff?
Well, just him being in the episode and the whole Shakespeare thing and his presence in the episode, especially as it relates to Bonnet and how he tells everybody about it. Do you think it was forced or do you think it was a natural course of events?
Oh my God, he totally would have been invited to the wedding.
I totally agree. He would have been there. It would have happened.
Bree would have been like top of my list. Mm-hmm. The fella who like took care of me.
That's true.
Who I almost married.
Yes.
Everyone's forgetting.
It should have been fine.
He wanted a wedding. Yep. He was really excited.
He probably
picked out this decor.
He picked out the flowers. He gave recommendations.
Yeah, when they were planning this, Roger was probably like, you know what? I've never really imagined a wedding. And Lord John Grey was like, here's my Pinterest board. It's called Rustic Chic Meets Spanish Moss.
We don't do fake. F-A-K-E no. does not belong no. here. We're getting real moths.
That's why he's smiling this whole episode, because his Pinterest wedding dreams came true.
Oh, all right. This one comes from the OutlanderCastClan.com. Remember, guys, you can go to OutlanderCastClan.com if you want to help out the podcast and help Outlander keep going and these listener feedback episodes keep going. Go to OutlanderCastClan.com. Join there. Become one of the nerds. Be part of the nerd clan and help out the show for as little as $2 a month or even $30 a month. We have a bunch of different levels, a bunch of different perks that go along with OutlanderCastClan.com. For example, Nadra today, she is one of our executive producers. Mm-hmm. She's earned the right to
intro the show
and actually even be a guest on this show in one of the upcoming listener feedback episodes. She's also gotten a patron shirt for free. She gets premium access to all Outlander Cast events, and premium access to Mary and I personally. So, you know, there's a whole lot of perks there, including the After Doc show.
And it's a way for you to support Outlander Cast.
Correct. So, and Mary and Blake in general.
Yes.
As we continue on with Outlander and all of our other podcasts. Yes. So if you want to continue to help Mary and Blake, that's where you go.
Outlander Cast. It's so weird when you say Mary and Blake because it's me and you.
I know.
But it's like in third but person.
We're talking to everybody else. It's like I'm not, you know, going full like Jack Sparrow here.
Okay.
I'm referring to us and our company.
Okay.
This one comes from OutlanderCastClan.com. Donna Leonard says, I was so excited to see this podcast available when I woke up this morning. My coffee never tasted so good. So fracking glad Outlander and the Larsons are
Yay!
Back. I'm going to take the leap and attend if the stars line up to the finale party this year. Welcome.
Yes.
We are having the finale party. More than likely, it will be
in
Rhode Island. So hopefully all of you guys can come. I may have to go back and listen again, but did either one of you discuss the remark Roger made to Bree while they were cutting the cake about when we go back? But you knocked it out of the park, all the kilts, when you ended with the song that we did, which is on my Spotify Outlander playlist. I blast that song just about every day, and I guess my great has to be the bookends of Jamie and Murta, but Jamie opening the chest to see the sword and the kilt with those drums starting in the background. Oh my God, great A and great B. Welcome back, everybody. Oh, yes. And Blake, I too cannot stand Governor Tryon. Your impersonation was spot on. He's a gnat. Mm. He sucks.
Gnat. What a good word.
Colonel Fraser.
Oh, it's so
Colonel cool. Fraser.
Okay.
Don't disappoint me.
Mary Beth Sheets wanted to say, pretty sure Sam's uncle not only created those crosses for the burning, but also did the stag for Roger and Bree's gathering in season 4, False Bride. I've heard that as well. What?
I just still can't. Everyone's loving all of your Pinterest board things for Lord John. You know he has a Pinterest board. He has many Pinterest boards.
He's got like the dessert one. You know he has a Christmas cookie Pinterest board.
Of course he does. He has the home decor one.
I bet you he has ponytail bows. Like the formal one. How to make like the I just rolled out of bed, but like it's done properly look. You know it.
Oh my God, I'm dead.
You know it.
I'm dead. Oh my God.
Great, so we've got some voicemails.
Oh, hold on, I have to recover.
You have to take a breather?
I just have to let that one sink in with his ponytail.
You
with
know
his,
it.
With his ponytail bows.
Oh, this, however, look at Jamie's ponytail in this shot.
You're little scruffy.
He needs a little hair mask.
He needs some
mask.
Conditioner.
Yes.
You know, what he needs? A hot oil treatment. Give me some VO5 for Jamie.
Listen, he's been busy. He doesn't get to have as much self-care as he would like.
Oh, man. Okay. All right. Let's get to the voicemails. All the voicemails here are coming at you from SpeakPipe, which is my preferred method of voicemails. Thank you very much for those of you who are using it. Just go to OutlanderCastClan.com and hit the voicemail button. And as soon as you see it, you'll come up with SpeakPipe. It utilizes the microphone in your phone or on your computer, and it sounds fantastic, just like you're here in studio with us. So that is how you get in touch with us for SpeakPipe and all of our voicemails. Marvin, let's do it.
Yes.
Married, like, hi, this is Bethany calling from Alabama.
Hi, Bethany.
I just cannot believe it is time for the listener feedback episodes. I'm so glad that Droughtlander is over. I could just cry, but I might as well go ahead and get started, because if not, I'm going to get cut off. First things first, that scene at the beginning with Jamie shaving Roger's face and the ferocity with which he kept thrusting Roger's head back. I'm pretty sure there was a slight, like, panic in Roger's eyes every time it happened. Like, he believed that, oh dear, Jamie's actually going to do it. He's going to cut me right here, right now, completely slit my throat. It was just, oh my gosh, it was so funny. And then when they kept panning back into that house and the insides, I mean, who did that thing? The Scottish Property Brothers? I mean, that wood paneling, the doors, the pillars. I mean, yes. I just... Holy heck. I mean, it was just beautiful. And then the wedding was just gorgeous. I mean, it was like something out of Town and Country. Or, I mean, I guess it would be Ridge and Country. I don't know what you would call it. And then, holy heckin' heck, Roger singing L-O-V-E by Nat King Cole. That was a fantasy I didn't even know that I needed. It was just, oh my gosh, I can still just hear it in my mind. It was just beautiful. And I just have one more thing to say. The sexy silver fox is back. Oh, Murtaugh, I love you. Until another time, guys. Bye.
Bethany, way to bring it. And you
You
know Lord John had to say from his Pinterest board on the woodworking in the big house.
Oh, yeah.
You know he was over there studying all the various kinds of woodworking, right? I mean, come on.
Yes.
He's decorating that house.
Lord John Gray?
Yeah, he's having a pot in it. No. If he's having a pot in the wedding, he's like, no, honey, no. People are going to be walking in and out of this
house. You know
whose Pinterest
board
to be a certain way.
Is better?
Whose?
Claire's.
I refuse to believe
Claire
that.
Probably has the most detailed-oriented Pinterest board, alphabetical, color-coordinated, in a timed-out manner.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. No. Claire's Pinterest board would trump Lord John's.
By the way, line of the day.
Because of detail.
Line of the day, holy heckin' heck. I don't think I've ever heard that phrase be used before.
Okay.
Bethany, way to bring it. Good job, girl.
Hey, Mary and Blake. It's Janine from Pennsylvania.
Hey, Janine.
And it's good to be back. I feel like this is the year where the male population gets on board with the Outlander train, excluding my husband and Blake, of course.
Nice.
All right, kilt rating. 5 kilts for sure. Mostly because they ease us into the Outlander season with something incredibly heartwarming, a wedding. They gave us all the feels, but reminded us, hey, things aren't going to be all sunshine and rainbows coming up. The music was fantastic. I loved when Bear echoed songs from the previous episodes, like the Battle from Press to Pan song. Epic, especially when paired with the kilts. Plus, when Raya did her echo in the beginning, chills. Oh, and when we're on the topic of flashbacks, can I just say that voiceover got me off feeling nostalgic for season one?
Yes.
Not to mention the flashback of the wedding. All right, key takeaways before I leave. When Murtaugh said he would always be there for Jamie, I think he's going to die too. Roger does not look great clean shaven. Let's stop that right now. That father-daughter look in the beginning, that made my husband cry. Blake, did that make you cry too?
It definitely did.
Right, Marsley is a meek queen bee in this season.
Yep.
Absolutely.
And if Governor Tryon says, Colonel Fraser, one more time, he's going to have to be the new mark me.
Colonel Fraser.
All right, finishing off. My outlandish theory is that someone's traveling through the stones.
Oh.
Murtaugh fashioned that little stone circle, and I'm feeling it.
Ooh.
All right, that's it for me. See you later. Bye, guys.
I like that outlandish theory. That's a good one.
I know. Janine's like bringing it.
Janine's bringing
it. She
the
was
heat.
The one that wore
the
red
dress.
And
she got called out. That's right.
Yes.
Atta girl, Janine. Way to bring the heat on this one. All right, this one comes from Amy.
Hi, Mary and Blake. This is Amy from Dallas, Texas. Excited for another season of Outlander with you guys.
Thank you.
My GBG for the season 5 premiere are good, the story outline. Matt Roberts did a nice job streamlining the book by moving the wedding and oath-taking from the gathering to Fraser's Ridge. This allowed for us to move through 2 important plot points while also getting us up to speed on the evolution of Fraser's Ridge into a community.
Mm-hmm.
Both also made for great visuals, especially Jamie back in his kilt. Bad. The love scene montage. It felt uncomfortable watching Bree and Roger's love scene so shortly after she had a flashback of Bonnet's attack. Mercasta's parts just seemed awkwardly shot. In previous seasons, they only showed Jamie and Claire's love scenes, always closely tied to their emotional states. Mm-hmm. But seeing three couples as a montage made it less emotionally charged and more voyeuristic. Great. The Jamie and Murtaugh bookends. The best acting of the episode was certainly that final scene. And the opening with little Jamie reminds us just how much he and Murtaugh have been through together.
Yes.
And the deep bond they share. Murtaugh comments that Jamie now has everything he's ever wanted. And yet for Jamie to protect his family and their new life, he has to choose them over Murtaugh, his only true clansman and connection to childhood and young adult life.
Breaks my heart.
Great storytelling. Thanks, guys.
As always, I totally agree. The storytelling here is what matters most. And I know a lot of people were upset over the fact that Murtaugh is still alive and he's been put into this situation. Mm-hmm. I 100% disagree. I 100% disagree on two basic levels. One, Murtaugh, besides Claire, is the only connection we have left to the early seasons, seasons one and two, especially season one. He's the only thing we really have left between Jamie, except for Jamie and Claire. So you need that. You need that familial connection in order to have that. But more importantly, it sets up everything for the regulators. It makes the stakes with the war with the regulators personal. Mm-hmm. Because if we didn't have a personal stake in the war, the rebellion of the regulators, what the hell are you even wasting our time for? It's just, it's going to suck. Nobody wants to see something that they don't care about. Nobody cares about the regulators because nobody knows their names. Nobody knows who they are. They've been lost to history, essentially. So you put Murtaugh as the leader of them, and now you have personal stakes. You actually have real drama, which is excellent stuff. All right, let's do the next one.
Sam's uncle is the Wicker Man, a well-known artist. His name is Trevor Leet, and he also did the Stag in the earlier episodes. Also, have you seen the Tenet commercials with Sam Ewan and the guy you despise so much, Tim Downey? They're great.
I have not seen them. I haven't seen the commercials, but the guy sucks. Either way, he sucks. Colonel Fraser, don't disappoint me. By the way, whenever you do call in, please just announce your name, where you're from. We love to hear your names. We love to hear where you're from and getting an idea of where all of our listeners are coming from. It's always fun and important to us.
Agreed.
Hello, this is Louise from outside of Philadelphia, PA.
Hello,
hi,
Louise.
Listener to the podcast from the beginning and first-time commenter.
Yay.
All right.
Calling about episode 501, The Fiery Cross. And I loved this episode. As a book reader since 1994, this episode captured all the relationships that are such a key part of the books, and I'm giving it 5 kilts plus. To me, the best episode ever. My good was the Murtaugh story arc, from the oath to Jamie as a child, to seeing him continue the relationship with Jocasta, and then having to say goodbye to her. But then to the final saying goodbye to Jamie as the oath was released, and knowing that he had done what he could with the wee lad, yet needed to go his own way now.
So sad.
My tiny bad was Lord John, just not enough of him. I thought a bit more with Bree would have been nice. But my great was Roger's story arc, from uncertainty with the relationship with Jamie at the beginning to the way he was so thoughtful to Bree on their wedding night, and I loved the love song. And then standing up to Jocasta and acknowledging Jamie as his son with his own oath. And the best of the great was Jamie's acceptance of Roger as son of my house. Mm-hmm. And Roger being able to take a new oath without Jamie's prompting. This episode had all the feels. Tears, smiles, shudders, and laughs. Hair ticks.
Hair ticks. Way
perfect.
To bring it. Good job, Louise. A bunch of commenters here are saying that the sex scene with Murtaugh and Jocasta was awkward. And I kind of agree because it looked like he was humping her leg. The whole time.
He might have been.
It was like this weird side thing that
listen,
like
either that
or it was placed weird. The whole montage was just, you know, it
not great, Bob. Listen,
rumpy pumpy can be done in many ways.
Yes. People are saying beautiful cat. Yes, our cat is walking around in our studio as we're talking. Our cat's name is Lumos, for all of you who care to know. She's next to my drill, which apparently we've had here the entire time. Sorry. All right, let's get to the next one.
Hello, Mary and Blake. This is Anne from Denver.
Hi, Anne.
I just am calling in reference to episode 501, The Fiery Cross. I My kill rating is 4.8. I love the episode. I just think they had some room for improvement, tiny bit. My GBGs, my good, all the little bits of book four that were brought forward that were missing out of season four and were brought into this episode. I'm so glad they made it into the show. My bad was all the modern elements of the wedding. I didn't think they quite fit. That plus I didn't understand the entire pheasant plucking
me neither
thing and forfeiting. Sorry, don't get it. And my great probably is the Jamie calling forward Fergus and Roger and the conversation that Jamie has with Murtaugh. That was a gut punch, and I can't be calm about that when I was in tears for it. Mm-hmm. And just for you, Blake, the Governor Tryon that is currently in North Carolina will get moved to New York for the Revolutionary War, and he was not well-liked in New York either.
Well, I appreciate that. Thank you. It's because he sucks.
I'm like biting my tongue.
Yeah,
like,
I know. Don't say it. Don't say it. Don't say it. All right, let's do the next one.
Hi, Mary and Blake. It's Sharon calling from Chicago. Yay.
Hey, Sharon's back.
So lovely to talk to the two of you. 4.7 kilts. And I'm going to jump in with good and James Frazier and his kilt. That was nice to see.
Yeah.
Bad was, I'm going to have to agree with you, Blake, on Tryon. He was the poo in the punch bowl at that wedding. He's what we say in writing, a mustache twirling villain.
Thank you.
So obvious, so one note. We need to see more about him. He is no Black Jack Randall. So they need to broaden him because he's an important part of this season, I feel. And they need to sort of flesh Roger out a little bit more. I don't feel like he still seems like a fish out of water. And what did he think he was getting into? He's a historian. He came all the way across the sea to be with Brianna. He really adapted to that ship. And he showed such kindness. We don't seem to have that here. But I'm hoping that they will. The great was the music. I hope they keep to the heart of the story and they just don't have a series of battles. So anyway, that's just sort of a side that I want to throw in there. But the music was so great. Oh, yes. It just gave me the chills, especially the song at the end. And that was really wonderful. And I think that's about it. So talk to you soon.
Thank you, Sharon.
Bye.
And the most important thing about all of this is that Sharon's streak continues.
Bam! Just like that. A winner!
She gets it again. She gets it again. I love when Sharon calls in. Because she, you want to know why?
No.
Because she agrees with me.
Did you?
I did. I got that, but I said it anyway.
Do you want to know why?
No. No, not at all, actually. Sorry. Let's get the next one.
Hi, Mary and Blake. It's Kathy from Cleveland.
Hey, Kathy.
Hey, Kathy.
Well, Droughtlander's over. We're all back together, and I couldn't be happier. I'm giving this episode 4.9 kilts. It would have been 5, but my grading system includes a mandatory 0.1 deduction for superfluous voiceover. My good, so many things to pick from, but I'm going with Marcelly. I could watch her all day.
Yep.
Pheasant plucker indeed. My bad, I was never on board with Mercasta, and I'm glad that ship seems to have sailed. But it was so out of character for them to make Jocasta look as though she was hoping Murtaugh would propose. Ugh. My great, I've got to go with Sophie Skelton. I thought she was really outstanding in this episode, with so many subtle changes of facial expression, especially on the wedding night. I think this is going to be a great season for both her and for Rick Rankin. I have a final, more general observation.
Okay.
As a book reader, I was pleased to see so many nods to the books. Some were awesome, some were a little clunky, and some were really overdone. It reminded me of when I was a kid, and my mom would keep the butter at room temperature and slather it on our toast like cake frosting.
Ooh,
I love butter, but there is such a thing as too much butter. And that's what some of this episode felt like to me. Too much butter. Or should I say, too much butter. Bye, guys. See you next week.
This is why Kathy from Cleveland is a Hall of Fame caller. Mary and Blake Hall of Fame right there. Thank you. Too much butter. Too much butter, Kathy.
Hi, Mary. Hi, Blake. This is Judy from New Jersey.
Hey, Judy.
I'm calling to give you my great, no, my good, great, and best.
Okay.
Got that order wrong. My good was watching Jamie and Claire getting Bree ready for her wedding with all, you know, the something new, something blue, something borrowed. Oh, my God. Fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
My great was the scene with Murtaugh with that tear. When Jamie shed that tear as he was kneeling was, oh, heartbreaking. And my great, no, my best, oh, how can I not say the Tartan? When I saw him open up that chest, I was like, oh, my God. Tartan, where have you been?
Yes.
Thank God he brought that with him.
Preach, sister.
Put it on. Put it on.
Yeah.
And when I saw him dressed in that kilt again, oh, my God.
Yep.
My knees shook.
Ooh, girl.
I was shivering.
Ooh, girl.
I had flutters in my stomach.
Ooh, girl.
I was in love all over again.
Oh, girl.
Thank God. Thank God for that kilt.
Oh.
And all I have to say is one thing. Did anybody notice that little boy who played Jamie, Wee Jamie, how he did that side smirk with his lips, with that smile?
He did.
And Jamie did the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
It was so subtle.
Nope, looks like she got cut off. Sorry. Sorry, Judy.
Subtle, unlike the cutoff of her voicemail.
Judy, let me tell you, I love the energy that you're bringing. I love the energy. You can call in anytime, honey. You call right in, we'll take care of you. you call right in. You want to talk about anything. As long as you bring that energy, I'm in. I'm in. Loving it. Loving it.
Good.
That is it. That is the last voicemail for now. Actually, hold on. Let me make sure. I'm going to refresh the thing here. Hold on. Of course, my computer is taking forever.
Well, I can volley.
Yeah, why don't you save me for a little bit here?
So I know that earlier in this episode, we talked about iTunes ratings and or just your podcast, whatever podcast app your rating is. And I feel like I could thank someone else who recently wrote. Denver Healer said, Mary and Blake came along at a sad time in my life. Aww. So I appreciate them and Outlander cast family very much. I'm a true show watcher for pure enjoyment. So the post-show analysis by Mary and Blake, as well as deeper thoughts by various members of the cast and the clan, have been enjoyable and thought-provoking.
Aww.
Denver Healer specifically calls out Kirsten, Donna, and Kathy for being enjoyable and thought-provoking. The GBG for me, good, is I'm all caught up with you guys. The bad news is that Denver Healer had to go through Droughtlander. But, of course, now the best is that the season has begun. So thank you, Denver Healer. So if you've already written a review on your podcast app of choice, you can go in and like other people's to help boost the comment, to help boost the rating. This will help other people who go to their podcast app and type in the word Outlander find ours. So once again, thank you for taking the time, not just to give a star rating, but to take the time to have a little written thing.
Correct, yes.
It really is. It means so very much to Blake and I. And then, as I said, you can kind of vote to like other people's reviews.
Karen Payne here on Facebook Live chimes in. She says, no one's mentioned the wee beasties yet. That was my favorite part.
Bacteria.
For me. It's great. The rapport between Jamie and Claire is phenomenal. And the way that it's written and how he's aware of what Claire is talking about, but he doesn't really have any understanding of it. So he calls them the wee beasties. Excellent stuff. Cindy Reed says, I'll have what Judy is having.
Love this.
Yeah, that's a reference to what the hell's the name of the movie? With the one with Meg Ryan and Billy Crystal and
Harry Met Sally?
When Harry Met Sally, when she has the orgasm and the lady says, I'll have what she's having.
Yeah.
I got you, girl. I got you, girl.
So, ladies and gents, this about does it for the first listener feedback episode for season 5.
Yes.
This is how it really works. Generally, as we do Blake and my own recap, then we do the listener recap. So you can submit your feedback anytime after the episode airs, whether in the official discussion threads on Facebook, Instagram, sending us an email, heading on over to outlandercast.com. You can also take the time to listen to our podcast episode and then agree or disagree with us and send us a little something that way as well. We wish we could read all of them, but if you want to make sure that your voice gets heard and other people get to see your point of view, say you have this little nugget that you really want to make sure is shared, I highly recommend that you make sure that you get on our complimentary texting service mm-hmm. so you can join us on the Facebook Lives in the Outlander Cast Clan Gathering. That's our exclusive Facebook group.
Yep. Well, Marvin, you ready to close this bad boy out?
Yes, I am.
Let's do it. Well, as always, you can get in touch with us for any of the stuff that you want to talk about for Mary and Blake or OutlanderCast, or if you want to have what Judy's having, I'm in on that too. Just bring the heat, bring that fire that Judy's bringing when you're calling into Mary and Blake. Bring the fire. That's all I can say. Get ready to run through some brick walls like I was with Jamie. That's all I want from everybody.
Everybody
knows the rules. Run through the brick walls.
We want to really thank all of the members of the Outlander Cast staff for keeping the content rolling on OutlanderCast.com all Droughtlander long. And in case you guys missed it, our editor-in-chief, Ashley Crowley, wrote her minute-by-minute recap. She's amazing at what she does, guys. She is able to post fun little witty tidbits that maybe you were thinking yourself. It's kind of like if your fun best friend was sitting right next to you watching the show. And
the one
just
who's way more witty than you are.
Yes.
And like way funnier than
Ashley.
But you hope to be one day. That's Ashley.
So she's going to be writing these minute-by-minute recaps every single week. And then also other members of the Outlander Cast staff will be chiming in and writing their own blog posts when they're inspired by the show.
That's right. Check that all out at OutlanderCast.com. You can check out all of the podcasts and everything and all the blogs that we have as Mary and Blake Media at MaryandBlake.com. Get in touch with us by Gmail at MaryandBlakeMedia@gmail.com or just even OutlanderCast@gmail.com. We'll get both. And check us out on all of the social media. Just look up Mary and Blake, YouTube, Instagram, TikTok. I keep mentioning TikTok just for the sake of mentioning TikTok, Facebook, Twitter, all of it. It's all there. YouTube. You can enjoy everything Mary and Blake have to offer.
And once again, head on over to OutlanderCastClan.com. There you can become a patron of Blake and mine. And that honestly is how we keep the content rolling. It's how we're able to pay for the website fees and the newsletter fees. So it truly, truly helps make OutlanderCast possible. We can't thank you guys enough. This just started as a little hobby between Blake and I back on our dining room table when we had one baby. And it's continued to be a huge passion project of ours. But to keep it going, we do need to make sure that we have the patronage. So we want to thank you, all of the members of Outlander Cast Clan, especially our associate producers, Angie, Carolyn, Celine, Don, Diane, Jeffrey, Jennifer, Marilyn, Maureen, Patricia, Siobhan, Valerie, and the co-producers, Amanda, Ann Lee, Barbara, Dana, Dieta, Janet, Keelan, Lori Ellen, Marianne, Meredith, Rainel, Rita, Sharon, Tina, and Whitney. And last but not least, our executive producers, Ann, Bobby, Dee, Jen, Katie, Kirsty, Martha, Nadra, who you got to hear in the beginning of this episode,
that's right.
Peg, and Sarah.
Thank you, guys. Thank you so much. Man, this was a good first listener feedback episode. I almost died from laughing about the bow comment. That's when you know you're getting a good listener feedback episode, when you're talking about Pinterest boards and Lord John bows and wedding decor and all that stuff. I'm in on it.
Love it.
I love these episodes.
Thank you, friends. Thank you for joining us. So happy to have such an extraordinary episode to kick off season 5. Reminder that most likely the finale party will be taking place May 3rd. We are just waiting for like 100% confirmation on that finale date.
Mm-hmm.
But it looks like it's going to be May 3rd, which in case you don't know, it's 2 days away from Cinco de Mary, my birthday. So
also,
in addition to it being a finale party, we're going to be having some party.
Also, don't forget that Mary and I are doing This Is Us 2, which is a podcast about This Is Us. We just recorded the episode prior to this one, and it will be coming out within the next 5 minutes or so. So you'll be able to listen to it. If you're a fan of This Is Us, check us out on maryandblake.com or go to Apple Podcasts and look it up. This Is Us 2. And we just had an episode that literally made me sob. I sobbed while watching this episode, this recent one. So it was excellent. All right, I think that's it. That's all we got, kid.
Well, for now, my name's Mary.
My name's Blake.
And you've been listening to Outlander Cast.